Hello there, and welcome to the first Life Lounge of 2021. Life Lounge is an act of worship through music and through word, and I thought it'd be appropriate that Life Lounge would come to you from our own church building here in Ballycrocken. Life Lounge has always been about connections to our faith, to the church family, and we'll be catching up with a few familiar faces during this Life Lounge. But before we do that, allow me to open for us in prayer. God in the turning to spring, God in the waiting together, we give thanks that even in separation, even in this drawn out distancing, we make sense of this life and mark the passing of time, not only as individuals in our own situations, but as part of a greater collection of your people alive in this world. May we enter this season all the more aware of each other and of fellow travellers on this road. Amen. And now to that first connection. A familiar face who I know very well. Chrissy Payne, now Chrissy Knapp, grew up in Ballycrocken Presbyterian Church and took the love of a very handsome English man to whisk her away. She never calls, never rings. What can you do? So, listen into our conversation. Well, I'd just like to welcome a face that's familiar to me. I'd like to welcome Chrissy Payne, now Chrissy Knapp. Chrissy, welcome to Life Lounge. How's it going with you?
Yes, all good. It's a little bit wet today. I'm on half term, so sitting indoors trying to refuel and relax when it's wet outdoors. Yeah, apart from that, all good.
Good. So for the benefit of all our viewers for Life Lounge, can you tell us your connection to Ballycrocken Presbyterian and take it from there?
Yes, of course. So I am the favourite daughter of Brian and Katrina Payne, and I grew up in Ballycrocken all my life. I was baptised in Ballycrocken and attended a church until I moved away to study from a PGC, where I moved up with Terry and Sandra Laverty in Port Stewart, and then I moved on to Brighton, which is where I'm at now. And I absolutely loved growing up in Ballycrocken. I remember Tuesday Club, I remember Sunday School, helping Rita with Sunday School for my Duke of Edinburgh, Bible class, helping out with Young Life. And even if you could think back a few years now, I even played a part in the Wall to Wall band, which was made up of a number of very special people who came together from different churches in the area. But lots of fun had.
Thanks very much. And what are you doing with yourself these days?
I'd like to think you would know, but I'll give it give a bit of information for everyone else. Right now, I'm currently in my living room. As I'm currently on half term, a much needed time to rest and refuel before next term begins. But I currently live in Brighton with my husband Jamie, who is English, so I do blame him for my slight change in accent at times. I moved to Brighton in 2017, August, and my dad cried as he left, but he says it was the sun in his eyes, but we'll go with crying. After meeting Jamie, and I started my permanent teaching post that September, and we've been here ever since. We got married in August of 2018 in Brighton at my beautiful school. You've probably seen lots of pictures of that. And we are currently enjoying doing our property up. So that's where I'm at now.
Okay. And tell us a bit about your work and your job.
So I'm an assistant head teacher, as well as a year three teacher at a really special school here in Brighton. I really enjoy it. But I guess this pandemic has had a big impact on me and I guess the teaching community as well. I do love my job. Lots of fun things happen. We have lots of outdoor space, a big field to play on, so lots of outdoor learning. We go to the beach, as the school is right up from the beach at Brighton here. And the temperature and the weather here is slightly better than Bangor. So we get a bit more outside time. But I love what I do. I love my job. It's busy. It's hectic. But that's what I signed up for and I love it.
Good, yeah. And are you involved in a church over there, Chrissy?
Yes, so Jamie was here before I moved here, and he was a part of We Are Emmanuel, which is a church we're both part of now. We were married at that church, and we were baptised by We Are Emmanuel as well. They have been amazing through this pandemic. They've been doing live services every Sunday, live worship, and we've been following a number of series. I guess it's been just about a year now. So yes, we're part of a church here. We love it. I've served on the kids' work. Jamie leads worship. And we have a lot of sites across Brighton. We're quite a big church in that sense. We've got a site down at the marina. We've got a site at East Brighton. And got a site in Central Brighton as well. So yes, we've all been following the same series, which has been great. And small groups as well. Small groups have been happening throughout all this time, and we're a part of a 20 to 30 small group that meets on a Sunday virtually, where we just discuss the preach and just have questions and time of discussion and prayer together, which is really special time.
And last time we talked, you talked about church extension. Is that still going ahead?
Like building extension
to Northern Ireland?
Yes, so a couple from our church, Kenny and Nicola McCush, they moved out just short of a year now to Belfast to plant a church there. They came from We Are Emmanuel and got sent out to plant in Belfast. So they have been there for quite some time now. They've got three gorgeous children Two of them are at a school and nursery. Obviously, it's been quite difficult to plant church at this time, but they're still working very hard what they're doing. And so please, please be praying for them as a family as they continue to plant that church. But they've settled, they've enjoyed it, they love being back. They're originally from Belfast and Lisburn area. But yes, we've got quite a few sites across, like we've got some in Ottawa, lots of places around the world, so it's very exciting.
Very good. Now, obviously these are difficult times. We're all facing difficult challenges and so on. How would you say this pandemic has changed or affected you and your walk of faith?
It's been a tough time. I think it's tough on everyone, from jobs to job losses, to seeing friends, to loneliness. I guess to financial concerns, to anxiety, family loss, friend loss. It's just been a really tough time. And I think as a teacher, I've seen it in my children. At the end of a remote day, I'm trying to shoo the children off because they've had a lot of screen time, but all they want to do is sit on the screen and talk to friends, talk to other people and interact with others. And I guess that's what I found hard in this pandemic. I'm a very sociable person. I like to talk a lot. I like to be very sociable and getting out with people. And I find that quite hard. And my husband's been working as well throughout this whole pandemic, as well as myself. So when I'm on holidays, like now, I've been able to spend a lot of time just in prayer, doing a lot of walking, a lot of reading. I think there's been times in this pandemic that it's made me rest, and it's made me just listen, be open to listening. But also it's put pressure on my relationship with God. I think there's a bit of hurt there from losing family members, but also just from not being able to get home to see family. I was going home once a month, flying home once a month to see family. Maybe that's a blessing for you guys, they're not having us once a month, but that as well has been quite hurtful, not being able to do that. But I'm enjoying the times of rest and the times of just listening and being still.
Yeah. Do you have any firm plans for the rest of the year? Are you just going to see what happens?
So I don't know if you know this yet, Dad, but we're coming home in March.
What?
No, if we're allowed to, we've got a ferry booked. We got home for Christmas by ferry, so it's about 14 hours door-to-door, driving up from Brighton to Stranraer. We plan to do it again at Easter, if we're allowed to, of course. In the next couple of months, I'm still teaching up until June. I've got my 2 months of summer, so we've still got, I guess it's up in the air. We don't really know where we'll be. But we've just got to be patient and pray into it, and I guess just wait it out. But yeah, in the next couple of years, I guess, we would like to move back to Bangor. We'd love to have a family and have cheap childcare through my parents, but we'll see. We'll see how that looks. But no, we'd love to get home at some point, but we also are loving our lives here in Brighton. We are called home. We feel called home. But also we know that our time here in Brighton isn't done. We've still got some more discipling to do here whilst we're here. Make the most of it.
Okay, and what about memories of Ballycrocken Presbyterian? Are there individuals there that have a memory for you?
Ooh, big question. Well, they were family. Everyone in Ballycrocken. Cheesy answer, I guess. Our family, they've known me since I was born and have been there with every part of my life, every chapter, I guess. Rita and Linda stand out, of course, always sitting a couple of rows behind us every Sunday, always laughing, always just up for the banter, having a laugh together. I always looked at them, always thought they were sisters. And I think there was a part of me, because I don't have a sister, there was a part of me that's like, oh, I'd love that in a sister. But yes, children's addresses with Rita and Linda, I'm having a congregation up, doing stuff, getting them involved. And I actually remember Rita's Sunday school box. She would come into church, she'd leave it by the radiator and sit down in the row, and it was coloured. It was, she must have covered it in stickers. And when you saw that box, you knew Rita was on Sunday school, which meant sweets. So you knew you were going to get treats that Sunday when Rita was on Sunday school. Another memory, I guess, Bobby Thompson, Uncle Bobby, such an incredible character. Not only did he teach me to drive, and I'm the best driver in the family, but also he encouraged me throughout every stage of life. He was praying for me, always, always giving me words of advice and encouragement. He was there when I had the inkling and the idea to go to Uganda. And I remember he always told me to chase those dreams, to make them happen. And I just remember him always saying, "Praying for you, Chrissy." Very, very special, amazing character. And I guess finally, Tom Henry. I remember when he first met my husband, Jamie, he went up to Jamie and said, "Hi, Jamie." Well, not in an English accent. "Hi, Jamie. I'm Tom. I was Chrissy's P7 teacher. She's the reason I turned grey." And that was it. Tom just walked off at that point, left it. But the Henrys as well, we went to Uganda together. He was my teacher. We chatted a lot. There was lots of encouragement there. Lots of amazing stories from Auntie Kay. That's Karen. Karen Woods, all the way through to Bobby. Lots of amazing characters there that have encouraged me to be the person I am today.
Well, look, we just want to send you blessings from Ballycrocken Presbyterian and goodwill, obviously, from Life Lounge. It's been great catching up with you. Stay safe, keep well, and, of course, a good hello to your husband, Jamie. It's been very good of him to give you that accent. It's a bit ridiculous, but there you go. Okay, well, we'll catch up again. Stay safe. Take care. Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
And now to that second connection, a fine gentleman called Andrew Hamilton. Andrew joined us here in Ballycrocken Presbyterian as part of the Schism team a few years back now. He has very fond memories of the place and the people. Let's listen into that chat.
So it's with pleasure that I'd like to welcome a good friend, Andrew Hamilton, onto Life Lounge. I welcome the opportunity to reconnect with him and to hear where he is at the moment. So over to you, Andrew. Perhaps you could introduce yourself.
Yes, hello. Thank you for having me on Life Lounge. I feel very honoured to be invited to join you. And Andy, introduction, what would you like me to tell you?
Well, I think if you start with maybe your connection with Ballycrocken Presbyterian Church for our viewers.
Yes. Well, I'm saying the least tenuous link I have with Ballycrocken is, I should have checked the year I'd done it, but I did Ballycrocken Schism when I was maybe 17, 18 maybe. And Martin Thompson was leading it at the time, so lots of good memories of that week. And actually, there was a wee bit of a competitive nature between Ballyhoom Schism and Ballycrocken Schism, and they were lapped. So I did the first week of Ballyhoom Schism, but I signed up to do the first week of Ballycrocken Schism, which coincided then with Ballyhoom. So, and I remember thinking, well, after the first week in Ballyhoom, I'm going to another place. I'm really enjoying this. And, you know, Ballyhoom was all singing, all dancing. But even now, reflecting on it, Ballycrocken Schism was really significant for different reasons. And the kind of smaller nature of it and the team from the time was a lot of fun to work with. So.
Yes, I do know that whatever schism you get involved with, you get extremely tired over the week, the back-to-back work. But good memories for you on the schism team?
Absolutely, yeah. I think I was in, I think we called it the Pacers at the time. And yeah, it was really good fun. And Sonia and Craig McWinney at the time were kind of looking after us as a team and cooked us lovely meals. And it was nice just feeling part of that wider church community and being invited into the church to do some work there.
Okay, very good. Now, that's been a few years ago now. Can you bring us up to speed with what's happened between then and now? I know a few years have gone under the bridge, but maybe you should give us a potted version.
Yeah, so after, well, I'm still just about leaving school. I left school, I went... left the grammar, a lot of good memories from the grammar as well, with KP doing the likes of Moffat and Murlock, and all those SU weekends were really significant for me. I loved working with young people and went to uni to study community youth work, qualified as a professional youth worker. Not sure that makes me much different from other people, but there we go, got a professional attached to the title, and worked in Ballysillan Youth for Christ for 5 years in North Belfast, and I'd volunteered there for a while before, but I absolutely loved working there and being part of a team there ministering in that community. And
what was a steep learning curve for you, or did you fall into that quite easily?
Because I'd volunteered there for a few years before, it was really nice to kind of get a fuller understanding of a working week with the team there, and it was really a sense of we were friends and we were living out what we were trying to a community that we want to create. So we laughed at it together and cried together, prayed for one another. It was really special being part of a team like that, and yeah, working with young people with dealing with all sorts of difficult issues and challenges, things that I never had to deal with growing up, and so that was really eye-opening. But yeah, it was really important for my faith as well during that time.
And you were in Ballysillan for how long?
For 5 years, so finished there in 2018, I think it was, and after that, and what I'm doing now currently is went on to back to uni again to do a PhD looking at peace building in Northern Ireland with young people. And I'm currently working towards the deadline of submitting a thesis in the summer, which hopefully has some interesting ideas to add to the theory and practice of youth work and peace building.
So unpack that for me a wee bit now. What's the bridge then between your youth work and peace work?
I guess in Ballysullen, we were doing a lot of cross-community stuff with some of the groups in Clonard Monastery. And, you know, things that were maybe hidden to me a little bit growing up in terms of sectarian issues and growing up in a really loyalist estate like Ballysullen, some of those kind of legacies of the Troubles are more visible perhaps than what I experienced. And so peace building was kind of part and parcel of what we were doing there. It was about trying to think about what it means to be part of this community in Northern Ireland and all our divisions, and also our similarities and what relationships we have and we don't have and how we build those bridges.
Did you find that you had to rethink your attitudes that you're brought up with?
Absolutely, yeah. I think it, even just thinking about it, like growing up in Bangor, I was at every youth club going, every church going, but it was all the Protestant churches. There was no sense of cross-community work that I'd been involved in, other than actually through some of the links with Ballysullen. And so, yeah, that became more important to me, and exploring some of those ideas in more depth and thinking about what are we actually trying to do when we're talking about peace building, and what are the issues here, and what role the churches play. Now, my current work isn't doesn't have a major faith-based focus, but that's kind of going on for me in the background as well.
Yes, that was my next question. The direction of your dissertation and PhD work, are you looking to reach a destination with it, or just to put down into writing your current thinking?
I guess for me, I'm hoping to kind of contribute to a conversation in the youth sector about what is it we're trying to do. When we're talking about peace building, some people have very different ideas, and you know, there's notions of kind of single identity work and working in single identity communities, and other ideas of looking at wider issues of social justice and equality. That should be a focus beyond kind of sectarianism. And again, for me, those things kind of relate back to my faith and growing up in church and thinking about the kind of society we want to be part of and the kind of world that we want to create.
Obviously, the pandemic has introduced a whole set of new challenges to that. What's the biggest impact that's made on your studies and on your youth work?
Yeah, everything's digital now. Thankfully for me, I had collected all my data, done all my interviews with youth workers before the pandemic hit. But there's real challenges now in terms of, you know, youth work so relational, ministry so relational, everyone's facing these same challenges. And actually the issue of mental health has really come up in the research that I've been doing. Youth workers talking about working with young people who find it hard to get out of bed, find it hard to have any motivation. And so there's already those kind of things going on for young people about their sense of self and their ability to deal with kind of the challenges life is throwing at them. And it's all kind of compounded now with that lack of access to peer support and youth centres and all those kind of things.
There's something out of that that we could all be thinking about more clearly in churches, this whole mental health issue. Is there something else that churches could be doing?
I guess as I reflect on it, there's probably things that we do and we don't maybe articulate it in the sense of creating a space that allows people to flourish and focuses on kind of positive mental health. And just, you know, the notion of association for me has been really important in kind of growing up, and I've been involved with YMCA, and it's the Young Men's Christian Association, and around how it developed was all about creating a space for people to come and be and have a sense of community and have somewhere where they belong. And so I think churches do that, and maybe just articulating some of the benefits of that is part of what we can be doing.
Yeah, that's a fascinating glimpse into your work. I'm sure you've really given us a potted history there, because I'm sure the amount of work that goes into research for PhD is just enormous. And then into the mix, I believe you're moving house.
Yes, that's right. we've bought a house. We've been moving house for about 6 months now, as in we've had it and it's agreed, but a lot of work to be done to it. So we're working away, and my dad and Hannah's dad have been helping us out big time in terms of getting stuff done. So I'm learning a bit of DIY as I go.
That's another steep learning curve that's ahead of
you. Yeah.
It's been great to reconnect with you, Andy. And I want to send blessings to you from Ballycrocken Presbyterian Church through Life Lounge to Hannah and Rosie. We hope the move will go as smooth as it possibly can, but these things have a tendency not to, so sort of bear with it. Do you have any passing thoughts then to the Life Lounge viewers just as we leave it here for this evening?
Well, passing thoughts, you put me on the spot now. I should have had some kind of philosophical wisdom. No, just it's really cool what you're doing with the Life Lounge and connecting, and it's been lovely to be part of it in a small way, so thank you.
Okay, and thanks again, Andrew, for joining us. Bye for now. Stay safe.
Hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ the
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer.
Oh, friend we have in Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus.
Yet again, time has caught up with us. Thank you so much for joining us on the first Life Lounge of 2021. And perhaps soon we'll be back in this building and we can have a live Life Lounge. It was great to hear from Chrissy and from Andrew. Good to connect, good to follow people's walk of faith. In closing, allow me to pray for us. God with us in a year of much loss. God with us in a year of much growth. Babies born in these last 12 months have only known pandemic. For a generation of school children, distance learning is already a significant chunk of their life. Each of us will carry this time like a ring in the trunk of a tree. May it be a mark of inner expansion, a built-in record of personal growth, so that in years to come, we can still note this time of developing our strength and our resilience. Amen. Join us again on Life Lounge.
Like a man. just breathe within. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in me. Like a mighty storm, stir within my soul. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in me.